What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Oh, yes. I hate this. It is revolting.
More?
Please.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, August 1. Where the hell does the time go? Kimberly said this morning, yeah, and tomorrow's Christmas. Oh, my God. The tempest really fugits, doesn't it? And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hello there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 923 of the Biden-Harris administration, 461 days until the 24th presidential election. Instagram, the Bob Seska. Twitter, or whatever you'd like to call it, Bob Seska underscore go. Though I'm not tweeting at all today in solidarity with Mark Hamill. You can go find out on his Twitter feed, right? Patreon page is bobseskashow.com. And, oh my God, sitting right over there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news. Yeah.
Took it down.
You've said it all.
Hi.
Hi. The neighbors didn't like our flashing electric sign on top of the building, so we took it down. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And a lot of people don't know this, but we were initially trained to be blacksmiths. Republicans bent on impeaching Joe Biden have finally found something to impeach him for.
Yeah.
They're now accusing him of hiding the truth about UFOs on Hunter Biden's laptop.
So that's what's on the laptop.
All
okay.
Ties together.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell and Dianne Feinstein walk into a bar and call the hearing to order. I just want everybody to know I'm supporting the writer's strike by writing only bad jokes.
I don't know. These aren't bad today.
Doing my part. Kevin Spacey was acquitted on sex abuse charges this week in London. Still, it's going to be a while before you see him acting again because, you know, the strike and all. I'm sure that's what it is.
Is it over yet?
After more than a month of temperatures above 110 degrees.
Wow, ouch.
Phoenix has now cooled off to 108. Time to break out the sweaters. And finally, scientists are using AI to implant artificial brains into robots. Now, if this works, they hope to try it on Kevin McCarthy.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, he'll become a real boy. All right, here's Rocky Mountain Mike to kick off a brand new week.
Would you like to hide that trunk in a padded room? Could we just decide to lock him away real soon?
He could gloat and tweet and brag about inaugural size.
Tell him
Indicted Watch continues, doesn't it?
Rock That's Rock Icelandic Mike with the music there.
Make sure to send him lots of tweets asking him if he saw the volcano. He loves that.
I've been wanting to ask him because I've been to Iceland, and I did encourage him to ride an Icelandic horse, because if you've not ridden an Icelandic horse, you haven't lived. There's no other horse like it on the planet. It's like gliding on a magic carpet.
Wow.
There's not a bump, because the soil there, it's all lava, right?
From the
volcano that Mike likes to talk about. So it's very uneven and jagged. Well, these horses have no problem with it. They have a different gait than every other horse on the planet.
Yeah.
They have a gait that's all their own, and so you just glide over the roughest terrain.
See? Now, these are the things you don't know, just looking in from the outside, never having visited Iceland. I thought Iceland was all about desolation, boredom, and eventual suicide.
Oh, no.
The three big things about Iceland.
And try the Kier.
What is Kier now?
It's runny yogurt.
Oh, good. That's exactly the way I like my yogurt. It's super runny.
It's a yogurt beverage,
Oh, okay. Oh, so you drink the yogurt. There's something wrong with that.
Exactly. Yeah. And best massage I ever got in my life was in Iceland. You know, a real one, not the...
Oh, my God.
Not the happy ending.
See, now, if you watch the Bourdain episode, I think it was one of the first No Reservations episodes. It takes place in Iceland, and he had the most miserable experience in the world. In fact, the duration of the rest of that series, he always went back to how awful Iceland was. And I think one of the things he did there was to get a massage, and then they did that, I don't know what it was, either bleeding or cupping or something on him.
Yeah. That was him pushing too far again. But yeah, that was. No, I had a wonderful time there.
Sounds good. Well, as you can tell by the song we chose from Rocky Mountain Mike,
yes,
we're still waiting. It could happen today, could happen Thursday, it could never happen, although I do believe it will happen. But suffice to say, it's probably going to happen after we're done with today's show, because we're starting super early. We're recording this earlier than we normally do because we're glutton for universal punishment, right?
I think we're going to trick the cosmos here. I think we're going to get away with something.
We're
now entering our eighth year of talking about Trump. But it looks like things are finally happening now, as Bob's alluding to.
Yeah.
We know that Fannie Willis, her grand jury is going to start dropping indictments as soon as Monday.
Wow.
And certainly over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And there's still a wide school of thought that thinks that Jack Smith will beat her to the punch, that he's likely to, his indictments are likely to arrive before hers.
It's like a race to indicting Donald Trump, and I'm really savoring every second of that.
It's finally come. The thing that we waited so long for, the thing that we thought many times might never come.
Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah.
The train is pulling into the station now. Things are starting to happen. This is an exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot is going to be happening over the next few weeks. And, you know, I don't know that it moves the needle politically, that people are going to vote any differently. I still like to think that they will.
Yeah.
I still like to think we're going to win some people over. I would say don't be fooled by the polls that you see that show, for example, Biden and Trump tied at 43% each. People are going to feel a lot differently on Election Day. Trust me, it's going to be more decisive than that.
Yeah, well, at the very least, it's moving the needle on how many diapers Donald Trump goes through in a single day. Yeah, so there's at least that, and that's one of my favorite parts.
Knowing that this
is freaking out Donald Trump privately, because he's not going to let on publicly, but you can see it in his face. He did some interview with one of the copycat Fox News light networks the other day.
Right.
Just looked like shit. Like his face was a balloon that had been deflated rapidly. And just that hamburger bun of hair sitting like lopsided, almost like on a jaunty angle on top of his head. I enjoyed looking at that because you could see the stress on his face.
And now that you mention it, it really should have sesame seeds on it. But...
I've always thought that. Like, that, oh my God, it's either like a hamburger bun up there. That's what it looks like the top half of a hamburger bun. Or it looks like that big football-shaped thing on Peppermint Patty's head from the Peanuts, from the Snoopy cartoons.
You see the panic in his tweets, his posts, and in his comments, and his video comments as well, mm-hmm. and at the rallies. These are the words of a desperate man. Sadly, it doesn't affect his base. It doesn't seem to yet. There is evidence that some of the numbers are slowly whittling away, and I think as things pile up, our fortunes will improve,
yeah,
and his will dwindle.
Yes, I absolutely believe that. So I think ultimately we're going to be fine is what I'm thinking at this point. I reserve the right to change my mind on that eventually, and I probably will, because my ongoing thing is vacillating between optimism and extreme pessimism. It's just like somewhere in there. Like if I'm exposed to Hal Sparks' show, for example, or watching Ted Lasso, something like that, or even watching clips of Pee Wee Herman, which we're going to talk about on the Shadow Docket, I'm overwhelmed by optimism and I can't help but to feel optimistic. And then my Gen X instincts kick in. I go, oh, what the fuck am I thinking?
Well, I know, and it was easy for many of us to convince ourselves that justice would never come because it seemed like such a long wait. And although the wheels of justice are probably not moving any more slowly than they ever have, this is a more of a crisis situation. A lot of us see an urgency here that has not existed before, that the system has never been tested by this degree of urgency.
So, but there's lots of good news to talk about. First of all, I guess since you mentioned Fonnie Willis, we'll start here. This Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney completely shut down Trump's attempt to stop the Fonnie Willis indictments. Now, this was Donald Trump trying to delay and stall everything. I don't think he's succeeded in that. It was a desperate move to try to get this whole thing stopped, to get the special grand jury disbanded, to get Fonnie Willis off the case. Donald Trump is just wasting money from his supporters, from his sucker supporters. There was a video going around the other day of one of Donald Trump's rallies. I think he did one in Erie, Pennsylvania, Buzz. And there was some video going around of all these people doing like a conga line, like dancing around and celebrating at the Trump rally. And it was like, I just thought, oh, my God, it's a cavalcade of suckers. These people are just having such a blast emptying their life savings into Donald Trump's open gullet. It's a remarkable thing to observe when you find out what exactly he's spending this money on. That's when it becomes writ large how he's taking advantage of these easily conned automatons who just can't stop giving their life savings to this obvious con man.
And the only thing better than you and I knowing that, and the people listening to us here today knowing that, as they do, is that we are not alone. Jack Smith knows this, too.
Yeah.
Jack Smith has evidence of this. Jack Smith is tracking all of this. This, too, is a crime. The cases are going to be overwhelming. We often wondered, you know, how can we ever prosecute Trump for all the many things that he's done? Well, if anybody can do it, Jack Smith is well on his way.
Yeah.
The number of directions that his investigation has traveled and the amazing progress that's been made. And again, I think he's going to want to issue his indictments maybe this week or certainly before Fonnie Willis starts dropping.
90 minutes from right now.
Yeah, which could happen as soon as hers could happen at any time now. Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I mean, either one of them is what I'm saying.
Right. But it would seem, even though we're hearing the fact that Fonnie Willis says we've completed 2 years of work, our work is completed, we are ready to go. I believe her words were, we are ready to go. Is that a signal to Jack Smith saying, after you, sir? You know, we're ready. You go, but you go first if you got something, and you know he does. So it'll be interesting, and I'm sure he has. I'm sure the case is prepared. I'm sure he's far enough along in his investigations that he can go first. And so, strap yourselves in. I think the train is coming down the tracks.
Yes, because what we're seeing now is a confluence of both the Fonnie Willis investigation and the Jack Smith investigation regarding January 6th and the big lie and all of Donald Trump's election fraud. This is what's happening right now. And so it's kind of a race to see who can be the first one on that front. And it's like a full court press as far as I'm concerned. I see Fonnie Willis and Jack Smith regarding January 6th and the big lie as like the walls of the trash compactor in Star Wars. And Donald Trump's down there with his giant pumpkin head fighting off the Dianoga. See, that's how nerdy I am. I know exactly what that creature is from the Star Wars trash compactor. It's a Dianoga. And so he's fighting off the Dianoga. And that who would the Dianoga be? I don't know. Am I getting way too deep into this? Probably.
Probably.
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, the walls of the trash compactor are closing in, and it makes me happy. So getting back to this Superior Court judge, he said it's simply too soon for Trump or his allies to seek to prohibit Georgia prosecutors from continuing to investigate him. In
because
large
they
part,
don't know. Yeah, yeah because she, I'm sorry, I don't mean to jump in, but what the judge is saying here, if I may, is that you can't object to what you don't know yet. She hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
He said, while being the subject or even target of a highly publicized criminal investigation is likely an unwelcome and unpleasant experience. No court ever has held that that status alone provides a basis for the courts to interfere or halt the investigation. He said, and for some, being the subject of a criminal investigation can, a la Rumpelstiltskin, be turned into golden political capital, making it seem more providential than problematic. So I'm going to ignore the alliteration and the awkward Rumpelstiltskin reference and the fact that in the previous quote, he put two that's in a row. I'll just ignore that and just savor the fact that Donald Trump was screwed again. But it's not just Donald Trump being screwed. One of the things we're going to talk about a lot today, Buzz, are Donald Trump's finances, his self-dealing, and his influence peddling.
And I want to chime in on Republican finances while we're doing all of that.
Yeah. So when it comes to all of this, I mean, Donald Trump's PAC has spent more than $40 million on legal costs this year for himself and others.
Right.
Yeah. Save America PAC, the former president's PAC, is expected to disclose about $40.2 million in legal spending in a filing expected Monday. So the people familiar with the filing, that total is more than any other expense the PAC has incurred during Trump's 2024 presidential campaign. And according to federal filings from earlier this month, more than Trump's campaign raised in the second quarter of 2023.
Yeah, more money going out than coming in.
Yeah.
Despite his allegedly clever scams that he continues to run.
Right. The Washington Post continued by writing, "It will bring the PAC's post-presidential legal spending to about $56 million. $56 million since Donald Trump left office. As Trump faces a federal indictment in Florida, state charges in New York, and the prospect of additional criminal indictments in Washington and Fulton County, Georgia. Trump's advisors say the costs of providing lawyers for dozens of people are necessary and will continue mushrooming as investigations continue." So all these people are emptying their checking accounts, their bank accounts, and giving it over to Donald Trump, and he's spending it just to wiggle out of legal jeopardy. But don't you think that that's one of the reasons they're doing it, though? Like, okay, we believe
they're happy. Yeah. They're happy to help him with that legal fight.
Yeah.
I don't know that we could successfully argue that they're being duped here. Is he using it to raise money? Yes. Is it working? No. It's interesting to note. I mean, sure, he's raising the money. But again, we just noted that he's spending more than he's taking in.
Yeah.
So it isn't, in that sense, it isn't working. On the other hand, conversely, you have Joe Biden, who's raking it in, taking in more money than Trump, and not spending any, not for legal fees, not for nothing. And as we get closer to the election, he's going to have a ton of money to unload on this campaign. That's just one of the factors that's going to help us, and I'll hit on the others as we get through the show. But
absolutely. Back
to this and how things are going for Donald Trump right now.
Yeah, well, adjacent to all of that is the fact this New York Times article reports that after paying his lawyers, Trump's PAC is nearly broke.
Yeah.
There are lots of things that make me laugh today. Former President Trump's Political Action Committee, which began last year with $105 million, now has less than $4 million.
Sad.
That's all that's left in the account after paying tens of millions of dollars in legal fees for Mr. Trump and his associates. This is a gigantic slush fund. Let's be clear about what we're talking about with regard to Save America PAC. I've been talking about that, Buzz, since Donald Trump launched Save America PAC a couple of years ago. That this is just, okay, give me all your money so I can, you know, self-deal with it and use it to wiggle out of legal jeopardy. It has nothing to do with making America great again. This just has everything to do with keeping me out of goddamn prison. So the dwindling cash reserves in Mr. Trump's PAC called Save America have fallen to such levels that the group has made the highly unusual request of a $60 million refund of a donation it had previously sent to a pro-Trump super PAC.
Can we have our money back?
This money had been intended for television commercials to help Mr. Trump's candidacy, but as he is the dominant frontrunner for the Republican nomination in 2024, his most immediate problems appear to be legal, not political.
We didn't really run the math right. We'd like to get that back if we could.
I got a receipt. You got to use this receipt.
And it isn't just that. If I may insert this here.
Yeah.
Arizona Republican Party has run out of money. What have they got? They're down to, they had $23,000 on cash. In Colorado, let's see, the Republican Party there, I don't know. I don't see a figure, but I understand that they are they're broke also. Here's how broke Republicans are in Colorado. They're debating whether to cancel the Republican primary in that state because they don't have the money to run one. You know how much money the Republican Party in Minnesota has?
How much?
$54. $54. The Republican Party of Minnesota has $54. In Michigan, they've run out of money. Let's see, what do we get here? They do have $92,000, but I think they've got their debts exceed that. And Georgia also low on cash. These aren't just obscure states. These are states that are important to Republicans.
Yeah.
And their parties, their state parties, are out of cash. Donald Trump is out of cash. Listen, if we all get together, we can actually win this next election.
No shit. Remember, these are the business people. These are the guys who apparently know how to run things like that have to do with money.
$54.
That's amazing. I just go back to that scene from Seinfeld where George is laying on the floor with his pants down and Jerry walks in and says, "So you want to be our latex salesman?" That's just it. So you want to be our businessman president and you're terrible with money. I mean, this is something we go back to 2015 talking about this, that Donald Trump has no business whatsoever being anywhere near issues of finance, despite his bullshit reputation for being Mr. Capitalist, Mr. Family Business. He is a terrible, terrible businessman.
Well, and he's a crook, and he's a psychopath because he feels no guilt, no remorse.
No.
It's very scary, though, to see the poll that I mentioned earlier that has him at 43-43, because you think, oh, my God, how could that many people support a man that corrupt, that evil, that insane, and yet they do. That's the position we find ourselves in. Now, as I indicated a moment ago, there are ways we can win, and I think they will only increase as time passes, as we get closer to the election itself.
Yeah.
But we still have to put in the work.
Right.
Like I said, if we all get together, we can manage this, and so I suggest we do so.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't wait for him to screw up. We have to be seizing the initiative. Yeah. And
He's done all the screwing up he needs to do for our satisfaction. It's up to us now.
Yeah, yeah. We can't do is sit here and go, well, we don't have to do any work because, you know, he's going to get indicted and convicted and go to prison. So why even bother? Yeah. We have to assume that's not going to happen. And we have to assume that if he is convicted, that he'll get pardoned if a Republican gets elected in 2024. Really, the fate of Donald Trump, as far as his personal freedom and legal jeopardy goes, is really entirely up to us.
And I'm far more concerned about the fate of democracy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that should be our focus, really. Yes, he needs to be, anyone who commits a crime should be punished for the crime. And Donald Trump is absolutely no exception. In fact, he's the example. Our focus really needs to be on if even a Republican gets elected. I mean, it worries me. I look down this poll, and again, I think people are going to feel differently on election day or when they sit down to fill out their ballots. But when I see that we've lost 25% of the Democrats on Biden, we got 13% support, 13% of Democrats support RFK Jr., and 10% of Democrats support Marianne Williamson. Well, there's 23%, nearly a quarter of us, nearly one in four Democrats not supporting the president. So we have things to, we have work to do. We have, in addition to the obstacles the Republicans invariably place before us. We as we've discussed before, make our own obstacles as well. And we have to overcome those to break that 43-43 logjam.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but I did see, I think it was a Washington Post piece today, showing that Joe Biden is way up among Democrats over last year. So you go back to July 2022, compare it to July 2023, Joe Biden's numbers have jumped significantly across all demographics.
Yeah, here's an improvement. This is actually a New York Times Siena poll. And last year at this time, nearly two-thirds of Democrats wanted a different nominee.
Yeah.
66% were against Joe Biden.
There you
now go. Democrats have accepted him as their standard bearer, but half of us would still prefer somebody else. And that's, you know, I'm tired of you whiny bitches. I mean, it's just...
Stop whining.
There's entirely too much whining going on around here.
Yeah.
In terms of the economy, you look at the economic numbers, and they're just stellar. They go, oh, my God, who wouldn't reelect this guy when you have these kinds of numbers? But then when you poll Americans on the economy, it's, oh, it's not very good. Mm-hmm. I don't really like it very much. And things are, you know, stop it. Stop the whining. Things are better than you're admitting.
Yeah.
I think the more time passes, the more that message will soak in, the more troubled Trump gets into. I think Biden's numbers will continue to rise. And when it gets down to making that serious decision at election time, I just don't see sane people voting against Biden.
No, absolutely not. Because imagine where we're going to be a year from now in terms of Donald Trump and his legal jeopardy and all of these cases, the evidence that's going to come forward in the subsequent year now. I think all these things are going to scare away any swing voters who may be inclined to vote for Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah. And then that's who we're talking about. We're talking about a teeny tiny percentage of the American voting population. And and they are not going to love the next year of Donald Trump trials and so on.
We have all these articles and polls and everything coming out and say, well, no, it's not affecting the Trump base. They're still with him just like they've always been. Yeah, give it a little time. It's still a little early. Bob and I have talked before about the how the public opinion is like a follow-up wave to reality. It's always a step behind what's actually happening. It takes a little while for public opinion to catch up with what's happening in real time. It's unfortunate, or maybe it's good. I don't know. It's just the way it is. But that wave of public opinion hasn't come in. It doesn't come in at real time. It isn't an instant thing. The minute these indictments come down, that's not going to change the poll numbers then. And you're going to see more articles saying, well, they're still with him. They're still with Trump.
Yeah.
In spite, give it some more time.
And also think about this in terms of Republicans and how narrow or how non-existent the bench is. We always talk about political benches, and that would be the roster of people lined up to potentially be president. And the Republican bench is so awful and so dismal, they cannot get anywhere close to a guy who was impeached twice, who has been indicted, criminally indicted twice in recent months, and ready to be indicted twice more. A guy who lost his midterms, lost the popular vote in 2016, then lost the midterms, then lost reelection, then lost the midterm after that. That's the guy that they're going to be nominating. This one-term loser is their guy again. Why? Because they can't find another real-life human being to run against him. That's how small the Republican bench is. Meantime, we're not even looking at other candidates on the Democratic side because we've got an incumbent coming in
One in four Democrats are, though. I mean, I realize that's a minority of Democrats, but it's a disturbingly large.
Yeah. Well, they need to wise up and act like grownups and do the math, because we need to prioritize winning elections, and Joe Biden is our best chance to win again in 2024. That should be obvious, as it is every time there's an incumbent.
And I guess it's up to the rest of Democrats, the rest of progressives, to have a little chat with these folks
and
try to bring them around. Some of them won't be flippable, but some of them will be.
Well, there's quite a few people who will eventually be president on the Democratic side who are active right now. So the Democrats have a much deeper bench. And as we're going to discuss, I believe, in the shadow docket, Gen Z is a tsunami heading for the Republican Party. So that's
I have
some
stuff
good
on
news
that as well.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm glad you have that.
Yeah, so what we want to do here in just a second is recap the superseding indictments from last week, which occurred after the Thursday show was recorded, mm-hmm. by the way. We talked about this a little bit on the after party on Friday, but since, you know, it was behind the paywall, we want to recap some of that again.
Sure.
Plus, a look at how anti-Trump the DOJ's investigations really are. Which is to say, not at all. I just have a quick meme that was posted by David K. Johnston. I want to bring along, pass along to you. So that plus, I want to talk about the Hunter Biden thing. We very seldom talked about the Republican persecution of Hunter Biden and how they're trying to go after Joe Biden and how this is what Donald Trump initially wanted from Zelensky and Ukraine back in 2019, 2020. The extortion of Ukraine to give the impression that Joe Biden was under investigation as he was basically the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party.
Just so, needed a little favor. You know?
Yeah, this is happening, all over again. And Comer and Jordan and the usual suspects are obliging Donald Trump in this attempt to derail Joe Biden's reelection chances. But I want to talk about the latest news to come out of the Hunter Biden investigation. And it's all bad news for Republicans. So I love this. Plus, I've got a partial list of Trump's self-dealing and influence peddling, because the Hunter Biden investigation, really what they're doing is they're investigating Joe Biden and they're using Hunter Biden as an avatar. And so it all has to do with allegations of influence peddling. We're going to talk about Donald Trump's immense list of self-dealing and influence peddling here in just a minute. And leprosy in Florida. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes.
Come on down.
You have a chance to leave, Buzz. You have a chance to bug out. I'm just warning you.
Oh, let's all get in the pool.
Okay, so if you missed Thursday's Shadow Docket, you missed me and David talking about UFOs or UAPs and the congressional hearings about them last week. We got into relativity, time dilation, a lot of nerdy things. And so David and I did a deep dive into UAPs, UFOs, more traditionally speaking. And look, I want to believe, I really, really do. I want to believe that there's intelligent life out there. I just don't believe they're coming here and messing with us, at least not yet. And the evidence isn't there just yet. But you can hear me rant about that, David rant about that on the Shadow Docket last week. You can sign up for the Shadow Docket podcast at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or simply BobSeskaShow.com. It's completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun news. It's only going to cost you pennies per episode. The Shadow Dockets drop every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, and they're only going to cost you $5 per month, and you're going to be supporting this fully independent podcast, and we thank you for that. That is a big goddamn deal. We need your support on the Patreon page. So don't miss out. BobSeskaShow.com, bookmark it, sign up now, and tell all your friends, and we thank you in advance.
Meep.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
Turn over the track now!
Shooby-dooby-dooby-doo. Got your money. Deal.
brand new music from King Cyborg from Outer Space.
Yeah.
One of my favorite people on the planet. Love this brand new single. It's called The Suspended Kid. It's autobiographical. If you heard her interview here on the podcast, you get a sense of what this song might be about. I just love the awkward time signature on this thing.
Well, yeah, it's not modern jazz, it's future jazz.
That's exactly it. I'm so glad you coined that. That's great. I wonder if that's an actual thing. If future jazz is kind of a genre now.
Thanks to King Crimson, it is now.
Yeah, you did it. All right. So, yeah, the great King Cyborg. Got a link in the description to download this latest single into your record collection. Do it now. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show, and we thank you for doing that. Okay, so as we move along here on our Tuesday show, Buzz, we got to talk about the superseding indictments from last week and kind of give a sense of our reactions to this and what we're talking about. So, federal prosecutors on Thursday added major accusations to an indictment charging former President Trump with mishandling classified documents after he left office. But this is mainly about the cover-up, isn't this? I mean, this is basically our friend G. Gordon Liddy haunting Donald Trump from beyond the grave.
This is the obstruction. And here's why this is important, as I understand it. This simplifies the case for the jury.
Yeah.
This makes it much easier for the jury. This is the guaranteed conviction here. This is going to be the thing that isn't complicated. This is going to be the thing that's easy for Jack Smith to prove in court. And so this is the one that seals the deal. In addition to bringing in another indictee, it has made more serious the charges against Trump. It has increased by three the number of charges against Trump, and it has paints a much clearer picture for the jury. And this is very good news for the entire case.
Yes, it is. And we see the once again Three Stooges trying to fix the plumbing metaphor illustrated again, because you got this guy Carlos de Oliveira. And who else? Walt Nauta is involved in all of this.
Waltine. I love his real first name. Waltine Nauta.
Yes. And we have a new player in the mix. Basically, just to backtrack real quick, this is all about Donald Trump's attempt to erase the server that contained the security camera footage after the federal government subpoenaed that security camera footage. This is remarkably dumb. I keep saying, haven't I said this for years, that these are the dumbest crooks in the history of dumb crooks?
And this is not a mobster colluding with his top lieutenants.
No.
This is a mobster colluding with, like the janitor and the IT guy.
Yes.
You know?
Guys who are easily flippable. Because they're low-paid and helpers and managers at Mar-a-Lago. They're not political operatives. They're just guys.
Nauta's been pretty bought out by Trump at this point. And I'm sure Trump has attempted to do the same, but it's too late. And this is why Trump is panicking. You were talking about this earlier. De Oliveira is why Trump is panicking.
Yeah.
Because De Oliveira is a guaranteed flip.
Yes.
And that may force Nauta to flip, something he wouldn't have otherwise done. And so, ultimately it could be the two of them. But right now it's just De Oliveira, and that's all it takes to get Trump all wound up.
Yeah, I don't think De Oliveira knows yet how much trouble he's in, or he's getting a sense right now.
Or how important he is.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So I think once the hammer really falls on that guy's head, he is absolutely going to flip. I think you're totally 1,000% correct about that. And that's going to be game over. I mean, well, this whole superseding indictment is game over for Donald Trump, as far as I'm concerned. Because, I mean, even beyond the obstruction of justice and the attempt to cover up the crimes, it shows consciousness of guilt is what it's showing here.
It does. It does. And I'm glad this is a slam dunk, and it is. And I really felt from the beginning that it would be, and I still feel that it will be. But that still may be a ways off. This is going to be a long case. It doesn't go to trial until May of next year, if we're lucky, the way things are going. And it's largely because of the classified documents involved.
Yeah.
We don't have classified documents in the January 6th case. The January 6th case is much more cut and dried, much simpler, and is far likely to be well over perhaps before the documents trial ever begins.
Yeah.
So, and this is what we're looking for. This is what we're looking for this week from Jack Smith ahead of whatever Fani Willis is going to do. But I think the January 6th case is going to supersede the documents case that now, yes, also thankfully is a slam dunk.
Right. And so in the mix with all of this, as far as the superseding indictment goes, we've got this new character in the story, Trump employee number four, this guy named Yusel Tavares, who was initially represented by a Trump attorney, is no longer represented by a Trump attorney, and has absolutely decided to testify against Donald Trump. And so that's encouraging news. In fact, this guy has already given information to Jack Smith regarding this conversation between De Oliveira and Trump having to do with the attempted erasure of the security camera footage.
I like to think of it this way. Jack Smith has everything you think he has and more.
Right, right. So Donald Trump had called De Oliveira and they spoke for 24 minutes. So as soon as De Oliveira flips, and as soon as he decides to cooperate with Jack Smith, he's going to reveal exactly what happened in that 24 minutes.
Smith is now looking into who's paying whose legal bills and what's expected in return for that. So that will be significant also.
One of the things I observed on the after party was that this guy, Yusel Tavares, is like the only person...
I prefer Yusel.
Is it Yusel? Is that the pronunciation?
I don't know, but that's what I prefer.
You picked a fine time to leave me Yusel? Is that
Okay. Exactly.
The thing with Yusel is the fact that he is the only person in Donald Trump's orbit who seems to have any integrity whatsoever. Because he was like, I don't think I can do that. The boss wants the security camera footage deleted. I don't know how to do it, and I don't think we're allowed to do that.
Right. He said, I don't know how, and I don't think I have the rights to do that.
Yeah.
And so he actually was speaking sensibly there. But then De Oliveira, I think, comes back and says, but the boss, this came from the boss.
So do you think that they tried to flood the pool in order to destroy the security camera footage?
You know, sometimes it's hard to sort out the incompetence from the crookedness. They were trying to be crooked and they were incompetent, and either way they accomplished what they were hoping to do, I guess.
Yeah. And I always go to that metaphor of the Three Stooges in that episode. Plumbing You Will Go is the name of the episode.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And they go into
this house has sure gone crazy.
Yeah. They go into this mansion where there's this big dinner party happening and they have to fix the plumbing and everything's going haywire. Eventually, Curly is trapped in a cage of pipes that are all spewing water all over the place. And he's
water is coming
out
of the light sockets. Yes.
Yeah. Coming out of the range in the kitchen for some reason.
Right.
Everywhere. And this is exactly what's going on at Mar-a-Lago on a day-to-day basis, or at least as the feds were closing in on Donald Trump and these documents. It's just like such a comedy of errors reading this indictment. This is one of the most entertaining indictments to ever come out of the entire Trump era. I just enjoyed reading every second of this, and partly because I felt vindicated with my ongoing Three Stooges metaphor, right?
Yeah, and this isn't colluding with Chuck Colson. This is colluding with the janitor.
Yeah. I mean, what did he think? What did Trump think was going to happen? He knew that destroying evidence was wrong. He knew that erasing a server that contained evidence that was recently subpoenaed was wrong. And how do we know that? Because he's done nothing but scream about Hillary Clinton allegedly deleting 33,000 personal emails from her homebrew server that was in her house. He can't shut the fuck up about that. So he clearly knows at some level that it's wrong, even though what he's saying about Hillary is inaccurate and defamatory. Right. Right. So I played this on Friday, but I want to give it another spin here. This is Tiny Trump going after, it was a kind of a super edit of Tiny Trump going after Hillary Clinton for all of the aforementioned acid washing, etc. So here we go.
She tried to destroy the evidence by deleting the emails. Hillary Clinton and her top aides knowingly destroyed evidence and covered up their actions. The thing that you should be apologizing for are the 33,000 emails that you deleted and that you acid washed. If I win, I am going to instruct my attorney general to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation, because there has never been so many lies, so much deception. There has never been anything like it. And we're going to have a special prosecutor.
It's Tiny Trump. Thank you, Tiny Trump.
Yes, we...
Back in the cigar box, please.
He was right. We were going to have a special prosecutor for him.
Yeah. Well, he did. He appointed a U.S. attorney. He had Jeff Sessions appoint a U.S. attorney. John Huber out of Colorado investigated Hillary Clinton for 2 goddamn years at the Department of Justice level. That was a thing that actually happened. Donald Trump politically prosecuted or attempted to prosecute one of his political rivals who could very easily have run for president again in 2020. He made good on his teeny tiny, tiny Trump promise to do that sort of thing. And so it's with great irony that Donald Trump talks about, oh my God, they're just coming after me because I'm running for president again. Well, you invented this shit. Republicans invented politically motivated investigations because that's one of the things they're doing right damn now with the Hunter Biden situation.
Oh, right. Yeah. The weaponization hearings to investigate weaponization. Yes.
Yes. And by the way, speaking of political parties as they pertain to all of these legal problems that Donald Trump has, David K. Johnston posted this meme the other day, and I just want to read this thing because it makes a lot of sense, obviously. A federal judge appointed by Trump issued a search warrant at the request of the director of the FBI, also appointed by Trump. It was executed by a DOJ attorney appointed by Trump, who charged him with violating a law passed by Trump. There's not a single witness involved who's a Democrat. They're all handpicked by Trump. His lawyers, his employees, their communications, their photos, everything. And they're still saying, what a Democratic witch hunt.
Right, right. Yeah, this is important for this is important for history. History will correctly record the truth, the facts here, even if it doesn't make a dent in his supporters at this point.
Yes, indeed. So the word has come down that the grand jury in the Trump case has arrived at the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. It says here, members of the grand jury hearing evidence in the special counsel probe of possible 2020 election interference by former President Donald Trump and others arrived at a federal courthouse Tuesday morning, fueling speculation that an indictment against the former president could come later in the day.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's happening. It's happening. That's the Ron Paul meme, isn't it?
It's happening. And even if it had happened right now, I don't know that there's anything more we can add to the events that have led up to this moment.
Yeah.
This is the thing we've been talking about, and now it's actually happening.
Yes.
It'll, of course, be exciting to see the details and to have a chance to analyze those and talk about them in depth as we go forward, as you know, on future shows.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Hunter Biden thing here in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to call an audible and move on to this other story real quick, since we're talking about legal jeopardy for Donald Trump specifically. Well, a federal judge has dismissed Trump's $475 million lawsuit, defamation lawsuit against CNN. Trump had argued that CNN's use of the phrase "the big lie" when discussing his false 2020 election fraud claims likened him to Adolf Hitler, which incited, quote, readers and viewers to hate, contempt, distrust, ridicule, and even fear him. Well, that was already a thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like that was new.
It's not like we all said, oh, look what CNN is saying. I guess he's a terrible guy. No,
CNN
that's not
is reporting
how it
works. That Donald Trump is Hitler.
Yeah, that's right. U.S. District Judge Raj Singhal, who was appointed by Trump, wrote that being Hitler-like is not a verifiable statement of fact that would support a defamation claim. Singhal, I think that might be how you pronounce it, added CNN's use of the phrase "the big lie" in connection with Trump's election challenges does not give rise to a plausible inference that Trump advocates the persecution and genocide of Jews or any other group of people.
There you go, Judge.
Yeah, so thank you. That's certainly good news. We're still waiting on, I'd like to know soon that a judge has dismissed Donald Trump's lawsuit against our friend Mary Trump. which is still on the table. And I mean, because I know Mary, I'm not privy to any of the information behind the scenes, but
of course,
I would like her to be exonerated, have this burden lifted off of her, because he is going after Mary Trump for a ludicrous amount of money. I think it's something like $100 million. Which is just absurd. This is just punishment. This is Donald Trump using the legal system to punish his enemies.
Or to try to, and certainly to harass them. In this case, harassing a relative, harassing a niece.
Yeah, yeah.
That he's suing here. Here's the thing about Mary Trump. She is intelligent enough not to put herself in a position where anyone could win a lawsuit against her for anything that she said. She's smarter than that. She's more careful than that.
Yeah.
So there's no way that she's done anything wrong here. She's gone out of her way to make sure that she did not do anything wrong.
Yeah.
But she's also qualified to talk about the things that she said about her uncle, and both from knowing him personally and knowing the family history and her training in psychology. So she's certainly qualified to say what she said, and smart enough not to say anything that she shouldn't have said. So I see her winning this case. I don't know if it'll come after the E. Jean Carroll cases are settled, or if E. Jean Carroll can, because they are friends, can offer some help in that regard. E. Jean Carroll has a tremendous legal team. I know Mary's been well represented, but I think at this point, E. Jean Carroll has all the lawyers. So, you know, maybe she gets some help there. But, yeah, I would hope for the same thing. I don't know how long that has to drag on or what the cost to Mary is in the meantime as it does drag on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the stress of having that just dangling over your head has got to be just remarkably demoralizing.
Is she stressed, or is this a presumption on your part? I mean, has she expressed?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't she be?
Yeah. Okay,
all right. I mean, her ridiculous criminal uncle is punitively suing her. And for no other reason than she said mean things about him publicly. And so that were true
and that she was qualified to say, and that she said very carefully. Yes.
Right, right. So this is all about an NDA, and just it gets really muddy.
Oh,
but
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's different dimensions to it. But I mean, suffice to say, $100 million? Are you fucking kidding me?
I don't know about you. Yeah, it's, do what I've done, and you should do the same. Make all your nieces and nephews sign NDAs.
That's exactly right.
It's the only way around it.
Oh, my God. God, talk about paranoid. They're the most paranoid people on the planet. Absolutely. Everyone has to sign an NDA. Well, meantime, former Trump White House lawyer Ty Cobb, old-timey baseball player Ty Cobb with his crazy handlebar mustache. I don't know where he finds these people, by the way, but I bet he's regretting hiring Ty Cobb at one point. He said the evidence against the former president over his handling of classified documents was now overwhelming, that is a direct quote, and would last an antiquity. After new charges were filed in the case on Thursday, said Cobb, I think this original indictment was engineered to last 1,000 years, and now this superseding indictment will last an antiquity.
And that's what the Red Hats don't see. The Red Hats do not see the long term. They don't see that they and he will be held in contempt for the rest of time. But they will be. I'm satisfied of that. I know that's going to be the case. But they're clueless about it, and so they continue to follow. And so you look at these Republican state parties who we're talking about running out of cash. $54. These guys running out of cash. Trump running out of cash. Trump increasing charges against him. Increasing airtight cases against him. And they continue to support him. And Republican politicians in Washington continue to support him. Republican voters across the country continue to support him. And you know what they're doing? They're all heading for the cliff. Yeah. They're all like lemmings. They're all heading off the cliff.
Here's the thing with Donald Trump's supporters, and in fact, some of the people in his inner circle, and maybe even Trump himself, probably, is that they don't see it the way we see it. What they're planning for is for Donald Trump to return to office and to never leave.
Right.
Therefore, eliminating all of this shit. They believe that Donald Trump will ascend to the presidency, become the permanent dictator of the United States, and make all of this shit go away.
Right.
That's
everything
the idea. That's the plan. not only by the supporters of Donald Trump, but by the people who surround him and so on. This is an orchestrated event. They have no intention of continuing on with democracy after Donald Trump sits down in that last chair in the game of musical chairs. That's the whole idea. Sit down in that final chair and never move.
Right.
Yeah. And they're just going to, I keep saying, they're going to barricade, I'm mixing my metaphors, I get it, but they're going to barricade the door behind them once they get into the White House. And they will not be able to be shaken loose. And then
yeah. The train pulls into the station. We're back to that again.
That's right. And so January 6th and all the shit that went down in late 2020, early 2021, and continues on to this day, that's a dress rehearsal for what they would like to do next time they get a chance. And so that's the whole point. It has nothing to do with whether or not he's guilty or innocent or what the superseding indictments say or whether this, as Ty Cobb says, it's something that's going to last in antiquity and that the evidence is overwhelming. They don't care. Like, it doesn't matter because Donald Trump is going to ascend to the presidency once again, and he's going to make all of this go away. Right. And he's going to give us jetpacks made of beef. You know, exactly. Just the usual fantasy land delusions that they are so notorious for. Mm-hmm. Okay, so lots more to talk about here on the show still to come. We got to get into Hunter Biden. And, we've got another tiny Trump quote from one of his rallies over this past weekend. Okay. Once he gets out of that cigar box, he ends up planning like six or seven rallies.
He's on the loose again.
Yes, and just be careful. If you see tiny Trump in the wild, don't get your hands too close to his mouth because he's bitey. He likes to bite people. And then you have to get a tetanus shot.
Oh, his little teeth are like needles.
Exactly. You ever been bitten by a kitten? Sharp teeth that get you. Same with puppies as well. All right, more to come right after these words.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Down by the buses waiting stood the Easy Boys. Mac did a little bit above the law. Growed up on with sitting on some motorbike. He rode easy, that's for sure. He never saw what there was to gain.
This is the great Dave Barrett and Subred Lux, formerly Elijah Bone. I got huge news, one of our indie bands making good here. Subred Lux has been signed by North Star Music, and their debut album comes out on January 8, 2023. So congratulations to Dave Barrett and Subred Lux. Yeah.
Great job.
Yeah. You know, he wants to send us T-shirts, Buzz, and he's curious about what your size is.
Yes.
What size T-shirt do you wear?
Yes is my size.
You don't want to say publicly.
XL would be roomy and comfortable.
Okay, yes, so you. XL. All right, sounds good. All right, yeah, and congratulations again to Dave Barrett. That song was called Easy Boys, one of their newest singles. I assume that's going to be on the debut album. That's so exciting.
Very nice.
So exciting.
Congratulations, guys. Really, yeah. That's awesome.
The mission with all of these
is happening.
Yes, exactly. The mission with all these independent recording artists is to get them the biggest notoriety possible. So if you support this show, please help support our indie recording artists who contribute so much. It's one of my favorite things about doing this show is playing some of this music. And, you know the names, you know the faces, you know the songs, and they should all be collecting Grammys every goddamn year.
Yeah, indie music is not a destination. It's a journey.
Yes, exactly.
It's a journey, hopefully, to a better place for these bands. And it's a wonderful place to be because there's so much music in that genre, in the indie music field. And we're rooting for all these folks.
Absolutely. So Donald Trump Tiny Trump, having escaped from his cigar box, did a rally in Erie, Pennsylvania. First of all, my first observation about that is it was so poorly attended that all of the Twitter red hats, which are now Twitter blue checks, were filling up their Twitter feeds with video of the rally. Only it wasn't video of the rally. It was video of earlier rallies from 2020, from Donald Trump's reelection campaign, 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Because there were actual crowds that showed up to some of those rallies. Right. And so they needed to portray that Donald Trump is still popular and people still love him. So and there was one clip, Buzz, that Sue in Rockville posted. And one of the, in this edit of allegedly the Erie, Pennsylvania rally, there was a clip of this road with all these cars parked alongside of the road to say, oh, look, all these people have to park on the road in order to get into the rally because the parking lot is so full.
But it was actually,
like a flat, arid desert road, clearly shot in like Utah or something. It was like very obviously not Erie, Pennsylvania because
footage they pulled from Woodstock. Yes,
exactly. Like the first thing I thought of, oh yes, all of those arid desert roads in Erie, Pennsylvania.
See,
it was
a black and white clip, but I think of Monty Python's Flying Circus, where they would edit in the audience applauding the little ladies in their coats and hats in the audience applauding, and just, you know, you knew it was out of context. You knew it was from something else, but it just didn't fit.
So in this rally, Tiny Trump said that Joe Biden is dumb as shit or something along those lines.
I had the actual quote here in front of me.
He dazzles, he likes to dazzle the red hats by saying bullshit or shit once a rally. And they all go nuts.
He called him a dumb son of a bitch. That's
dumb
the exact
son of a
quote.
Bitch. There you
a
go.
A dumb son of a bitch.
Yeah, a son of a bitch. So Trump said Joe Biden is a dumb son of a bitch. And then he totally short-circuited. This is just like in your mentions on Twitter, someone coming up to you and saying, oh, you're such an idiot. And then they misspell your. This is the same kind of thing. Oh, Joe Biden is dumb as shit. And then I'm about to short circuit. So here's Tiny Trump short circuiting during his Erie rally.
China is building military places and forts and everything, installations. They're building military in Cuba, 71 miles off our coast.
Yeah, everyone panic. They're building military 71 miles off our coast, Buzz.
Well, that was to cover the absence of, because he still couldn't have the word installations.
Yeah.
Military places.
Places.
As we all know, the Pentagon has military places.
Places.
And because he couldn't pull the word, so he thought to be cool, the second time he would just say military.
Yes, exactly.
They're building military.
They're building military, don't you know?
Yeah.
So the fact is that there is a thing happening with China and Cuba, but they're negotiating a joint military training facility in Cuba. This is the Chinese and the Cubans. And so that's actually happening, but it's not. But he's talking about it as if it's already happened.
And it isn't good, but it would be happening even if he were president.
But this is, once again, the Republicans, they can't let go of the Cuba thing, can they?
Right. Well, or China, for that matter.
Yeah, China. But, I mean, with the Cuba thing, this goes back to the goddamn 1950s.
Right. It endears them to the Hispanic voting base in this country, which we are increasingly losing to the Republicans again.
Yeah, well, it's about Florida. It's about winning Florida, which Yeah. The Republicans are going to win Florida anyway, sadly enough. But, you know, that's just that's part of the thing. It's just they can't quit it. They can't stop a communist government 70 miles, or it's actually more like 90 to 100 miles, off the southern coast of Florida. That's just been a rallying cry for these guys since before we were born.
Unlike Southern California, Florida is the Hispanics who come here are oftentimes fleeing communist dictatorships and socialist governments that were dictatorships.
Right.
And so all Republicans have to do in this country is use the word socialist, which, as you know, they have done a lot.
Yeah.
And Hispanic voters in this state at least go fleeing from Democrats. And that's the problem we have to overcome is we have to somehow explain we're not that kind of socialist.
right.
And that's a subtle argument to make.
So I've been meaning to talk about this for a while now, but there was some pretty significant information that dropped yesterday in the Hunter Biden investigation in the House. And I call it an investigation. It's really just a political tactic. This is about, again, as I said earlier in the show, this is the same process that they tried to use with Zelensky and Ukraine and trying to muscle him into Zelensky into in, at least pretending to investigate Burisma and Hunter Biden back in 2020. And so they're repeating this again, but now they're using the House Republicans because we managed to... I should say New York Democrats managed to screw up the gerrymander in that state. That's one of the things. But what happened was this guy testified in front of the House committee behind closed doors, and his name is Devin Archer, and he is a business associate of Hunter Biden, and he has now successfully shut down the Republican investigation, or at least their goal of tethering Joe Biden to Hunter Biden's business activities. There is no connective tissue between what Hunter Biden was doing and what Joe Biden was doing. It's not like there was some sort of criminal conspiracy between these two to use Joe Biden's influence in order to enrich the Biden family. And this is one of this is their star witness, basically. This guy was supposed to say, oh, yes, there's all this linkage. They were in cahoots with each other. The, you know, Hunter Biden was going around saying, hey, you want access to my dad? You better give me a bunch of money and close this deal. And none of that is a thing now.
But here's what Americans see.
Yeah.
Here's a this is an update on my phone from Google News. It's the BBC via Google News. And here's what it says. Biden on speakerphone in son's business calls, Congress hears.
Hmm.
That's the impression America will come away with. So while those of us who are sane feel vindicated by this testimony of Hunter Biden's business associate, the Republicans have accomplished what they set out to do, which was to implicate the president in a scandal that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And to do so without actually proving that it happened. I mean, we got the proof we need to see that it, there is no criminal activity here.
Mm-hmm.
But the Republicans still accomplished their mission.
At least when it comes to people who are only casually observing this stuff, they may come away with that impression. But this is, again, this is why we have, what is it, a year and, or was it 16 months, something like that, in order to correct the record on all
this. This is our hope. This is our, this is our job, and this is what we hope to accomplish. Yes. Absolutely.
Exactly right. And one of the things in all of this, since they're alleging that Hunter Biden is influence peddling and that Joe Biden is self-dealing and taking advantage of his post going all the way back to when he was vice president, it's important to emphasize Donald Trump's much more vast and criminal self-dealing and influence peddling.
Yeah.
While he was president of the United States.
Right.
In
right.
particular.
I know. And I'm not trying to throw water on this. I'm just saying we know this, and this is good. This is important for history. And hopefully over time we can continue to get the truth out there. But I worry that, this doesn't really, at least at the moment, isn't moving the needle. It feels like a victory in the sense that, you know, aha, we were right. They were wrong. But they still did the implicating they wanted to do.
So one of the reasons I started thinking about this particular investigation was that Joe Rogan had Jim Gaffigan on his show the other day. And Gaffigan's promoting a thing. He has really no input in terms of where they put him. Amazon Prime is hosting Gaffigan's latest stand-up special. And so they put together all these press tours, and Gaffigan just goes. And Gaffigan, of course, goes back in the comedy circles with Joe Rogan and all those guys years and years and years and years ago, before Joe Rogan was the podcaster that he is today. And what I'm doing here is I'm exonerating Jim Gaffigan and all of this because I like Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan's a good liberal, and he has certainly waved the flag when appropriate on Twitter and elsewhere. Plus, he pushed back against Joe Rogan's allegation that Biden is corrupt on Joe Rogan's show. Gaffigan pushed back because Gaffigan is a good man. He mentioned Kushner's $2 billion from Mohammed bin Salman.
Right.
You know, and then when I heard that, though, I was like, wow, there's that, but there's so many other examples that we could be talking about here. And so I put together this thread and tagged both Gaffigan and Joe Rogan on this.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know Joe Rogan follows me on Twitter. So this is Trump's self-dealing and influence peddling. And this is just what I could come up with off the top of my head. Trump benefited from his tax bill, his tax scam, tax cut bill, between $593 million and $1.4 billion, estimates say. Kushner, Jared Kushner, got tax breaks for 13 different properties out of that tax bill. That's what you call self-dealing. I'm going to sign this legislation because I personally benefit to the tune of upwards of $1.4 billion, and my dopey son-in-law is going to get tax breaks for 13 properties. That's corrupt. 200 special interests, businesses, foreign governments spent money at Trump properties while he was president. In 2018, China loaned $500 million to a Trump-linked project in Indonesia. In exchange, Trump cut a deal with President Xi, loosening sanctions against the tech firm ZTE. While in the White House, Qatari-linked firm loaned Kushner $1 billion. Also while in the White House, a Saudi-funded offshore firm gave Jared Kushner $90 million. As Gaffigan noted, Kushner got $2 billion from MBS after leaving the White House. Ivanka got three Chinese trademarks on the same day that Trump dined with President Xi. Ivanka received dozens more Chinese trademarks during Trump's term. And by the way, Trump publicly was attacking China during his presidency, but privately was doing business with President Xi and China. So Trump withheld military aid to get Ukraine to help him win in 2024. That's like extreme influence peddling. I'm going to withhold military aid to you unless you investigate my political opponent as he's running for president against me. Trump properties advertised access to Trump to real estate buyers. So that's the kind of influence peddling they're saying that Hunter Biden is engaged in. Trump influenced billions in loans to a Tennessee inaugural donor. Trump funneled more than $2.5 million in taxpayer money to his properties. 60-plus interests negotiating government deals gave the Trump Organization $12 million. One company, AAR, held events at Trump Doral and other properties in 2018. AAR inked $1.35 billion in federal contracts. Trump International has offices in Shanghai, China. The top Chinese state-owned bank rented an entire floor in Trump Tower at $2 million per month. Plus, there's Trump Tower Moscow. In 2018, Trump Organization sold access to Don Jr. to ink $23 million, that's the sales total for one day, in Trump Tower India deals. The Trump Foundation exploited kids with cancer and was dissolved after it was caught self-dealing. Paul Manafort used Trump connections to pay off Oleg Deripaska. And I stopped right there because I ran out of time. I had to go do something else. So I just said, I could do this all day, which is my way of saying, and so on and so on and so on.
Right.
So there you go. That's just a brief list off the top of my head.
We're not going to be able to fit all that into the history books. that'll have to be a separate book.
That's right.
So, but it's shocking and appalling, and none of it's surprising to any of us.
Yeah.
It's really something to hear it all together like that, something we don't normally have an opportunity to do.
It's the flood the zone strategy, Buzz. This is one of those things where they do it so often that you can't keep track of all the things.
Exactly.
So the Biden thing is one thing, and it has to do with his son. But at least it's one thing and people can keep track of one thing. That's the nefariousness of it in relation to all of Donald Trump's things. Right. Yeah, people just can't follow the ongoing conga line of scandals.
What they see is Biden on speakerphone in son's business calls Congress hears.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what they see.
But, I mean, you can add another one to the list that came out today. This headline from Mediaite. New fundraising reports reveal Trump PAC paid eye-popping amount to Melania's stylist for strategy consulting.
Yeah, and what I hear from, and what I'm going to hear from a lot of my friends is how they all do that. They all do. Yeah, they both sides do that. They all do that.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Show me
now,
then.
As you've just pointed out with your list there, your rather extensive list, there is no real comparison. But it's a bit of a pissing match.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is self-dealing. This is exactly what we're talking about when we say self-dealing.
Clearly it is, unlike anything.
Yeah, Donald Trump using the Trump Foundation to buy a life-size painting of himself.
And people will try to say the Democrats do the same thing, but they do not. This is beyond the pale, as they say.
Right. Well, whenever someone says that, I say to myself, well, they don't know what they don't have any counterpoint to this. They don't have anything to say about this, so they just go both sides do it. It's what you say when you have no argument.
Right. And it's a way clear yourself of it. It's a way of washing your hands of it.
So the suckers who contributed money to Save America PAC ended up paying $108,000 for Hervé Pierre Brilliard, who is Melania Trump's personal stylist. So, and of course, they'll justify that. They'll say, well, you need to look good in order to run for president, but not really, because Melania is not running for president. So, they're like, what? Fine, rationalize all you want. Dumping your money down a fucking hole, is what's happening.
Melania is being paid as a strategy consultant.
Yes.
Strategy consultant.
Right. Yes. Well,
is to stay as far away from him as possible.
Sure. And finally, people have been warned not to go to Florida because of the rise in leprosy.
Thank you, Florida.
Yeah, thank you. Central Florida is now accounting for 81% of cases reported in Florida, almost one-fifth of the cases reported across the United States. And that, once again, that's cases of leprosy, otherwise known as Hansen's disease.
Well, you know, I don't know much about that, but have you seen my left index finger? Because we don't need the animation of Bugs Bunny sawing off Florida anymore. Now it'll just break off by itself. I'm sorry. No, it really shouldn't make those jokes. I know that's horribly, horribly politically incorrect. I don't know. I'd have to. I haven't read that as much as I suppose I should. Maybe it's because I didn't want to know. We've had the flesh-eating bacteria.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah.
You know, that's so maybe it has something to do with that. We've got a hot tub offshore here. Yeah. It's the water temperature is 101.2 degrees. That's hot tub temperature. So, yeah, unless you dump a whole lot of chlorine in that, you're going to get bugs.
By the way, you know who's spreading the leprosy to humans?
Who?
The armadillos. The armadillos are sneezing on people because people keep these armadillos as pets in some places. Hello, Florida man.
Well, not so fast. There are folks in armadillos have worked their way north. You never used to see armadillos north of Texas. Now they're in Oklahoma and Kansas and Nebraska working their way up because the climate is changing and they're spreading across the country. Yeah. And I know of some folks in Missouri who probably have armadillos as pets also.
Yeah, it's an invasion. It's a caravan of armadillos.
Yeah, and they're armored, so you know, there's no stopping.
They're coming to take your jobs and your limbs at the same time.
Your left index finger. Yes.
Yeah. So I guess be careful. I don't know. Don't kiss any armadillos in Florida.
I tell you what, I'll read up on that and try to know more about leprosy in Florida the next time we meet.
Yeah, 159 new cases were reported in the U.S. in 2020 alone. Well, I mean, it's not a lot, but...
It hasn't been pervasive for a very long time. There used to be a Hawaiian island dedicated to that.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. In fact, I've been to the painted church where the missionary who dealt with all the lepers in Hawaii used to have his congregation. It's a beautiful landmark if you ever get to the Big Island. Go see the painted church. Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Whether you're religious or not, doesn't matter. It's kind of an interesting place to see as you're doing your Circle Island tour. All right.
So what we've learned today is don't let your armadillo sneeze on you.
That's right. And you, God damn it, you shouldn't be keeping armadillos as pets anyway. I know there's like a viral video going around of someone throwing a little toy ball to an armadillo and then it wraps its whole body around the toy ball and rolls along the floor. Yeah, it's so adorable. But it's going to give you leprosy, maybe.
Maybe.
All right, lots more to come on the Shadow Docket. We're going to say goodbye to the great Pee-wee Herman. Plus some good news about Gen Z and their voting trends. And a whole lot more. That's patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Sign up for $5 a month. And we'll see you there. Take care, folks. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.